Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening's message is the gospel lesson that we shared together. The theme, partisan politics, AD 30 style. In these last chapters of Matthew, we grow closer and closer to the events that will lead to our Lord's passion. Here before us this evening in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the Pharisees are seeking to come up with some evidence that will be useful when Jesus is brought to trial. Testimony, words from his own mouth that can be used against him. Now, most of us have seen political advertisement on TV. We've been bombarded with it on the TV, on the radio. And I'm guessing most of you are like me. I'm just sick and tired of it. But we go through this cycle every 4 years, don't we? And it wouldn't be so bad if it wouldn't be so downright dirty and scoundrelly if they could just stick to the issues instead of personalities. Well, we see it here in the scripture as well. The Pharisees team up with the Herodians, unlikely bedfellows. You see, the Pharisees did not like the Roman occupation. In fact, they would love to see Rome driven out of the countryside because it sort of limits their power as priests. The Herodians, on the other side of the coin, are those who favor Roman rule. They are called Herodians because they support Herod, the king, who is sort of a puppet to the Roman government. And ordinarily, these two groups do not get along at all. And in order to trick up Jesus, they team up with one another. The Pharisees know that if Jesus answers their question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? They know that if he says, yes, it's lawful to uphold and pay taxes to Caesar, that he sort of then is setting himself up contrary to what Messiah should be. He claims to be the Messiah, and yet the Messiah is the one who's supposed to drive the Romans out. The people believed. In fact, the rank and file Judean of Jesus' day thought that that's what Messiah was going to do. He would drive out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of David. And if Jesus says it's okay to pay taxes to Caesar, it's okay for the Romans to be here, well then in a sense he's denying his messiahship. And they can claim that he's blaspheming, claiming to be God when he isn't. On the other hand, if he says, no, it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, well, then he would be viewed by the Herodians as an insurrectionist, as an anarchist. And either way, Jesus loses. He either gets tried for being a blasphemer or he gets tried for being a traitor. He's in a no-win situation. They come to him slyly, knowing that no matter how he answers, they'll win. They'll have him. They'll have evidence to put this Jesus out of their hair once and for all. But Jesus is aware of their malice. Matthew tells us. And so he asks them, show me the coin that's used to pay the taxes. So they bring him a denarius. And he asks them, whose head is on it? And whose inscription is on the coin? And they say, Caesar's. To which he replies, therefore give to Caesar what is Caesar's. This coin is Caesar's. It has his inscription on it. It has his image on it. Give it back to him. But then give to God what is God's. Now, they're surprised to hear this. Why? Because it's a possibility that none of the parties had taken into consideration. There's nothing there to pin on Jesus. And they left him alone and went away. That is, until another opportune time. In these chapters here, we're going to see that the Pharisees will make strange bedfellows with an assortment of people that they detest. Here the Herodians, later the Sadducees, all in an attempt to get rid of Jesus. Not that the others are such great supporters of Jesus either. So we see here in this text Jesus upholding the God-given institution of civil authorities. Luther will call the civil authorities the kingdom of God's left hand. And God establishes kings and countries and civil governments for the purpose of punishing evildoers and rewarding those who do good. Laws are established to keep society orderly. And in that function, the government serves as God's servant. For the purpose, then, that the church, that is, the kingdom of God's right hand, would be able to live peacefully in this world of sin, so that then the function for which the church has been given, namely to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, may continue. The church then being God's kingdom of his right hand, where God rules in grace, where he forgives daily sinners who are contrite over their sin. And so here Jesus does not deny the need or the function of civil authorities. Throughout history, Christians have tried to separate themselves from civil authorities. Some have gone off and cloistered themselves in monasteries, only living unto themselves. Others have sought to overthrow civil government. Even in Luther's time, there was revolt over the authorities that had been established by God, and some of his partners, fellow teachers and faculty members, thought that he should support them and support the peasants, which he did not do. We need to have both God's gracious rule and the rule of the civil authorities. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. What really is God's? But everything. Everything that has been given to us to sustain and support our body, our daily life, really comes to us from God and belongs to God, including we ourselves. Because in the water of baptism, did not God claim us to be his own? Did he not mark us with the sign of the cross, claiming us as his own child? That's all, quite simply put, God wants us. We talk about giving back and returning to God of our time and our talents and our treasures. But before we can really return to Him the time, the talents, and the treasures that are ours, we really have to give Him first ourselves. We have to understand and recognize the truth that we're not our own, but we belong to God, that we have been bought with a price. We've been bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That very blood that He shares with us tonight in the Lord's Supper. The very body poured out on that cross for our sins. Even when Jesus is standing before Pilate, He will acknowledge the purpose of the civil government. He will place Himself under that civil authority to be crucified on a cross for the sins of these Pharisees and Herodians and hypocrites that are trying to trip Him up, trying to do Him in, for Pontius Pilate, for Herod, for disciples that have betrayed Him and denied Him and fled away in fear, and even for sinners like you and I, who sometimes in this world forget that we are God's and He desires us. Not simply a portion of our time or a portion of our treasure or a portion of our talent, but He really wants all of us. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. There is a place for us under the government, a place for us also to voice our opinion, to cast our ballot. It's important for us to do that as citizens of this nation, but also as citizens of God's kingdom. It is important for us to not make a choice not to vote, or to be so fed up with all of the political ramblings that we do not seek out what is the real issue, what are the real issues, what is best for our nation. God calls us to support our government. He calls us to elect officials. He sometimes even calls some of us to serve in those capacities, always understanding and always seeking that we serve under Him who is the supreme authority, King of kings and Lord of lords, who has put all things under His feet until the last enemy, death, should be vanquished. May God grant to us the blessedness of living in this country, living with the freedom to worship Him and express our faith in the way that is best for us. But let us not take those freedoms for granted. And let us not shirk our duty as Christian citizens of this country, that indeed we may seek that which promotes peace and unity among God's people, among this nation, so then, indeed, as we pray, God's word may have free course, and that we may spend our time in peace and quietness, protected from our enemies. God grant that to us. For Jesus' sake, amen.